Can anybody else on Zoom hear anything?
You guys can have Zoom.
No.
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 Okay. So, sorry, everybody.
I don't know what to do about that.
So for folks on Zoom, you cannot hear us?
You sound better now.
Okay, I wasn't using mic stuff, I know. Oh, wait, sorry, everybody. Technical difficulties. That's usually good.
Listen to the last stage when COVID came back. He was thinking about
whatever works, it's great. If it doesn't send in a couple minutes, I can just present, like read it off my slideshow and send it to everybody afterwards. That makes it easier.
Let's do it that way.
Sorry.
Let's do it that way.
Okay, go to it. You can do that. I'll let it send in the background in case it pops up. Okay. So I'll just send this to everybody, this presentation I'm working on, and we can publicize it for you guys later. So hello, everybody. Thank you so much for your time today. My name is Zach Bartholomew. I'm head project developer for the Eldorado Solar Project at Sacramento. I'm going to present this kind of in a weird way since basically presenting to myself, but a quick agenda for my presentation. So we're going to meet the project team from Eldorado Solar. Then I'll go into very high level about CyberStreet's business. I know I included the presentation last time, so you guys have probably seen a lot of that information. And then we'll talk about the project specifics and specs.
Excuse me, Zach.
Sorry.
Could more slowly, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. So we'll go over the Oakland Solar Project, specific details about the project, and then I'll end it over Q&A. So the project team, it's composed of myself, the head project developer, my boss, who's Todd Wallace, he's the development director for the Western region. Then we have our environmental managers and directors, just Julie Opper, which I believe is on the line, so let's say it. And then we have ICF, who's our consultant we've been working on. Sarah's right here in the audience as well, and Mel is online. We also have Stacy in the audience, who is the director of community engagement for CyberStreet Communities. So super high level about Cypress Creek. We have a vision for our business. Our vision includes five high level values of how we kind of treat our business and operate. Care, courage, creativity, conviction, and collaboration. We try to apply all this in every aspect of every project. I'm showing a map, so it's not easy to talk about, but I'm showing a map currently, and I'll send it to everybody of Cypress Creek and how we have our, I guess, national landscape of projects that have been developed and are being developed. Colorado is definitely one to highlight. Excuse me. We currently have two projects that are transmission scale fully developed in the state of Colorado. And we also have one community solar project as well. And then just myself, I have my Colorado market, which Cypress Creek Renewables, and have about 10 as well that are also in the pipeline and development process. Again, showing a picture of the projects that have been developed in similar landscape to Colorado, so it's easy to see. Next, I'm going to talk a little bit about Cypress Creek and our vision of how we benefit the community through these projects. And this is Cypress Creek only. We'll talk more about Elkhorn specifically, how we'll also benefit the project or the community. But Cypress Creek as a whole have eliminated 7.3 metric tons of carbon offset. And then also we have invested $65 million within different communities based on annual property tax, lease payments, et cetera. I also have a slide to take a second hand out these handouts, but we can do that at the end. I'll give you guys all this information as soon as we're done. Okay, Oakland Solar, so specifically talking about that project. I know last time we gave a high level overview. I think it deserves a little more detailed overview from the previous hearing. So Oakland Solar LLC is a fully owned subsidiary of Cypress Creek, so Cypress Creek is still the umbrella owner of the company. This site is going to be 200 megawatts. That's better than the AC capacity. And then we also have the option for a 3 megawatt battery energy storage system attached to the project. Located in Los Angeles County, obviously, this will be connected to the tri-state system on the grid. As far as site control, we have 2,000 acres under site control, very strong partnership with our landowner, who's on the line as well, Jeff is also in the audience. Within that 2,000 acres, will be about 1,400 underneath the panel array itself. Interconnection studies are all complete, engineering survey, all that stuff's complete, ALTA, TOPO, hydraulic, VH&H, any of that good stuff is all complete. We submitted our application to the county here on the 5th of January, 2023. We obviously had our hearing last month, and we're here as a continuation of that. Mineral outreach, we've identified all the mineral tracts with the external consultant that we use on all our projects. And mineral outreach is underway and negotiations currently. For environmental, we have full environmental field surveys complete. The entire SUP checklist for Los Angeles County specifically is all completed and all of the SUP application online and handout. Like I mentioned, wetlands are all complete, design constraints are all complete. We received a note required from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to vote this project. And then we have a project specific tax memo that is also in the application itself, completed by Ursula. This project is scheduled to go online, I should say. The project is scheduled to be placed in service at the end of 2026. So a project description, like I mentioned before in the agenda, this project is located about 8.6 miles east of Aguilar, Colorado. This is located on private lands. It's owned by a single landowner, Brown, who also owns the majority of land surrounding the project site. This is all agricultural undevelopable development land. Like I mentioned, it's a 200 megawatt solar project with an option of 100 megawatt battery storage system. We have pretty detailed preliminary site plans that are also found in the application. This project will be proposed of just over 450,000 plus PV modules, and those will be wrapped on 65,000 to 75,000 random foundations within the 1,400 of the 2,000 total acres. The solar panels will be a maximum of about 15 feet high and fully tilted during prime daylight hours. And the storage system, if we do go that route, will also be up to 10 feet tall. The entire site will be surrounded by an 8-foot chain link fence, 8-foot high chain link fence with barbed wire on top. I'll get into that later, but it was 6-foot originally, and we updated our site plan to 8. We met with CPW, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and they mentioned that probably be beneficial for wildlife. We don't have to get crazy into interconnection, but there's two total substations that are going to be on the project, so we're connecting to this tri-state system. So there will be a tri-state substation, and there will also be a collection substation that will be built by Cypress Creek for the collection substation that will interconnect to tri-state's grid. Mineral rights, I know that's kind of a hard topic, so I want to spend some time on that. Mineral rights and accommodation. So for this project, the map will definitely help you guys when I get it to you, but we have one surface owner who owns the majority interest in Sun Brown is online. And then we have two total mineral tracts, apart from the BLM land, which is already included groups for this project. So Cypress Creek, we have initiated outreach to mineral rights owners starting back in July 2022. And we've been diligently working with mineral rights to come in accommodation agreements with parties that are still underway in progress. The mineral tract breakdown, so obviously you can see the map would help, but Hunter Brown, who's our surface owner, owns about 61% of all minerals on the project. We have Mesa Minerals as well, who owns about 30.6%, and then we have Brick Global Company, who owns a total of what we think is 8.7%, the rest of it, but we're working on title with them as well, because there's some party. Kind of discrepancies that we're working on Mr. Anderson's side as well. All of this has been compiled with the state requirements for mineral right notifications under 65.5 in the state of Colorado. We made sure all their notifications went on time, and then the majority interest party has been waived for all minerals, obviously because that's not across the property, who owns 61% of all minerals. safety noise plan, as well as other things. So for example, fire safety, we spend a good amount of time on this. Each section of the solar facility can be shut off remotely. Project operation maintenance 24/7, 365 days a year, there will always be someone on site to make sure that anything happens. We have an emergency response plan. The energy storage system containers include state-of-the-art fire prevention and suppression system and wildland fire risk, according to our studies, is extremely low. Airplane safety, we've been meeting with the FAA and we have been issued a determination that there is no hazard to air navigation due to our layout that we shared with them. And then we also met with DOD, the Department of Defense. They were also reported that there's no impact at all on military operations for this project. reflected light, blinking glare. We performed a blinking glare study report that was developed, and there's been identified negligible impacts associated with the blinking glare study. Engineering and building permits, local and building electrical inspectors will be approving all of our drawings. We have professional engineers working on this and making sure they're in accordance with the National Electric Code. We have industry-leading equipment, material, and design practices are also being used, utilized by CCR that we continually take advantage of. Oh, then I should say something about sound, too. So from the sound side of things, we run a sound and noise report, and operational noise will not exceed the daytime limit of 50 decibels at any given moment across the product life cycle. I have a chart on the next slide showcasing studies that have been completed and plans that we've done throughout this process. Once you see it, the ones in bold are actually required for the SUP within Los Angeles County, which we have in control of. Some of those include road use transportation plan, the Noxious Weed plan, the Fugitive Dust Control plan, and then also the decommissioning plan estimate, which I handed out last time. They're also included in our application as well. Everything else on here has been completed, land and road use, wildlife, wetlands and surface waters, vegetation reports, blinking glare, noise, socioeconomic, tax benefits, everything, aesthetics and hydrology, and then airspace and decommissioning. The only thing that we're waiting until we get closer is the stormwater management plan. This one thing to note, and that is because it's probably more political once we get closer to infrastructure and have less site specs. High level agency coordination, folks we've met with about this project and you know, the diligence with. So I mentioned CPW earlier, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, Cypress Creek. We initiated with them back in 2020. We've been coordinating them with them to ensure proper environmental surveys are completed and make sure that we incorporate any kind of agency feedback that is part of the site plan. If they see something that might hinder wildlife, and we make sure that we take extra steps to accommodate that. Like I said, they did mention that we should raise our fence site from 6 to 8, so that's not finalized in the site plan for pronghorns and stuff like that in case they got over. And they mentioned that that should not be a problem anymore. We also met with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department. We've been in coordination with them, and they've come back and said that there's no federal list of species or critical habitats that are present to be affected by this project. FAA and DOD, I mentioned that as well, both came back with no permitted wire and no impacts to the project. Orchard County, and then we also met with UACE on our energy. They came back and mentioned that there's also no permit required on their end. A few more, we met with the Spanish Beach Fire Department and Sheriff's Department, and we've been in contact with them regarding emergency services coordination. We're going to make sure that that's very, very on point, just in case any kind of emergency responders are ever needed in the future on this project as we move forward. The Road and Bridge Department as well, Cypress Creek being in coordination with Bill Morgan regarding public road use. We also kind of coordinated with the Spanish Beach Project. We coordinated with them to make sure that we're all on the same page as well. Tribal outreach, Julie was online, did a lot of our tribal outreach, voluntary measure. Tribal outreach owners were sent to tribes with the sort of ties to the project area. And we allow them to request their feedback or concerns. If there's any kind of interest that they see, we are willing to accommodate. The State Solar Preservation Office, the Cultural Survey Report was submitted to the Colorado SHPO for a nominated review. They came back and did the reviews and accepted all findings and deliverables that we had within that study. And then also lastly, the county weed department helped run solar as much to work cooperatively with the county private landowner to ensure that noxious weed species are maintained and controlled appropriately. Just a couple more things. Economic benefits, I know that's very, very important to the county here. So tax revenue estimates is probably the number one to talk about. So Elkhorn Solar is going to generate, according to our study, about $15 million with a cumulative county revenue over the facility's anticipated 40-year life. Currently, with Iron Mountain's land that we are going to be building this project on, it's about $10,000, $9,600. So it's going to be going from $9,600 to about $15 million revenue. Sacramento Creek and Oklahoma Solar LLC have also completed an economic and fiscal contribution analysis done by a third party. Within that analysis, they've given, it's actually attached the application online as well. But within that analysis, they've actually given a really good breakdown of a lot of where these taxes are coming from, where these revenues are coming from, where they can go. And they also included the BBEM, which is the best value employment metrics now required by the state of Colorado, and now we can buy into that as well. Local investment, so that's the local investment side of things, $15 million in tax revenue, and then jobs, another big thing I don't think about. So this project is estimated to create this 250 full, or I guess part-time jobs during construction, 18 months worth of construction. We will have construction jobs set up. Within that 18 months, all these people will be using, you know, lodging, food, groceries, material needs, even local hobby shops, whatever it's all going to be within this county, and that'll be added to the community benefit as well. And then during the actual project life cycle for the 4-year period, we'll have 2 to 3 full-time permanent open folks, like material that we are not stop making sure the project is, you know, ends washing, grass mowed, and anything goes wrong electrically, anything like that. And that'll be a full-time position. All this will be full-time positions. Oprah is anticipated to power about 35,000 homes annually, given the 200 megawatt size project. And then also, Oprah Solar aims to produce more than 200,000 kilowatt hours per year, which is the equivalent to reduce carbon emissions by about 95,000 houses. The last thing I'll mention, Stacey and myself have been working with Los Angeles County community engagement efforts. We actually have some meetings set up after this as well. Sacramento Creek's committed to being a great neighbor. That's one of the reasons we do these projects. We've been in contact with the future Aguilar Chamber of Commerce, and I've offered to be a charter member as well there. And we've also been engaged with the Trinidad Community Foundation. We have to have a meeting with them set up today just to process some donations for them and help with different items in the community. And the recent waves of fires in Aguilar, we actually had a call a couple weeks ago from the Spanish Peaks Fire Department, Voluntary Fire Department. They reached out to us and asked if we'd be willing to assist in any way. So we're saying about as a vendor internally right now, we're going to help donate and assist with those others as well. Cypress Creek is also planning to sponsor the Los Angeles County Fair in late July. We'll have staff members there distributing Elkhorn Solar specific project materials, also make ourselves available to just answer any questions that people might have. We just want to make sure that the community is well informed, and that's very important to us. So with that, I think that's about it. I have some stuff in the appendix, I plan stuff, but it's on the SUP as well. So that's all I had. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Zach. Questions from Planning Commission members? Questions from the audience? Comment? Yes, sir. Please come forward, state your name.
Where you like me?
Yes, sir.
My name is Billy Peterson. Billy over there. I'm on video.
Really?
And how many pounds of perjury intent when you're asked, it will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
So that we've got, yes.
Thank you. Please
say for those who might not have heard that, my name is Billy Peterson. I am representing Mason Minerals today, and a couple of quick comments. First of all, I would like to have a copy of your presentation email to me. You have my email address, obviously.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to note that I was surprised to get a letter and relatively short turnaround from the last planning meeting. I thought there was going to be some sort of a 30-day probably notice cycle again. I noticed in the audience that most of the people here look like they represent either me or the company, and And are there additional, I don't know if that means that people weren't aware of the meeting or what, I appreciate getting notified that there's going to be a meeting. It was sort of my impression for the last meeting that the one of the major reasons it was tabled was for the accommodation process. And while Zach spoke just a small amount about that, I would like to point out that we really haven't gone any further in our discussion than we were several months ago. So I don't know that coming to this meeting and asking for the same reason it was tabled, or one of the major reasons it was tabled, and to come in here with really no part asking for that to move forward seems to be a little bit sideways with me. So there have been a communication. We've had a Zoom call. We've got other information. I suggested something based on Payson's number and some other things. And I haven't heard anything back. That's for sure. 10 days?
I emailed you on Friday.
Pardon?
I emailed you this past Friday about the next step.
I didn't receive it.
Yeah, you received it. Okay, but I can answer any questions as well.
So basically, I think that the process here from the accommodation standpoint, there are other people here today that can talk about this process a little bit better than I can as well. I'm just a small town kid. And so I guess it would be my expectation for this group who are you going to listen to what all the concerns are. Is it the concerns really haven't been resolved from the last meeting or speaking? We're in the same situation today. I'd actually created a little PowerPoint, a sort of humorous one about the process I've gone through with this, but since we really can't share it here this way, I'm not even going to bring it up. But I've been doing a lot of say, welcome to that. The whole or whatever you want to do, it's a process at this point. But I think that my request to you all is that a public notice meeting would be held and notified before that time. And that perhaps contacting the three or four people who are actually involved in the mineral rights with this process to see whether or not the accommodations have been met or made significant progress before the next meeting is called, of course. I come from Santa Fe. This gentleman here is here, and his father are both here from Texas to come here and try to voice our concerns and consider it. So we haven't been moving further. And I don't think that there's going to be a movement further until they realize that if they don't do some accommodations or make some decisions, we're kind of in a standstill. So you know, that's my comment.
Thanks for that.
And they're nice people.
Yeah, just a few things to follow up, Billy. I think you raised some good points, but I think we should backtrack also a little bit as well. So just as far as the public notice, we did meet with Mr. Lucero right after the last hearing. We did issue a courtesy notice. I'm sure that's why Mr. Peterson's in attendance today. That was a courtesy notice that was given. Secondly, there has been a lot of progress since the last hearing. We met with Bill Peterson, like you mentioned, on Zoom. I've met internally because I'm not one who stays out money. Those are executives at the organization. And we did actually have some negotiation processes with Mr. Peterson in the past couple weeks. I can send any kind of information needed on that, but we did offer Mr. Peterson an accommodation agreement, and he came back with another number. And I think I'm raising it to our executive team to figure out how we can accommodate, negotiate that. I think, not to get into specifics, but I think it's a little bit more outlandish amount of money than what the minerals are worth, according to our geologists, according to what is actually on the property. We have also offered Mr. Peterson, a geologist, to be on board. We can have him go back out there and make sure what minerals are on there and they're concerned about helium. We can have anybody go out there and make sure that you were taken care of in the correct way if that stuff is out there. We've had 100 rounds on the line as well. We've had people go out there in the same exact area and not find anything. We have estimates. We have doing stuff online. I don't know if Jimmy, if you want to switch something to speak, but we have plenty of folks that are trying our best to accommodate the situation. And I think the last thing I want to add too is from our last hearing, I know that wasn't your topic, Mr. Peterson, but at the end of the day, Cypress Creek and Mason Minerals is responsible for that negotiation. It has really nothing to do with the approval of SUP. We have everything that is required for this permit to be acquired, approved so that we can move on and move forward. But at the end of the day, under the statutes of Colorado, that's between us and not required to be approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments? Please come forward. Please state your name.
Addison from the travel.
Do you solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. My name is Addison Fairchild. I'm an attorney at Holland & Hart. We represent CCR. The only thing I wanted to point out, as Zach said, but just to be clear, county land use regulations do not require a signed accommodation agreement in order to approve this permit. So what matters, what's important here, is they're doing their best to work with this, with the mineral owners, but they're not required to.
Good, thank you.
You solemnly affirm under the penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Please state your name.
My name is Breezy Carlson. I'm an attorney with Kegel Law Firm. I'm a partner, and I've actually represented mineral owners in Colorado for about 14 years. I've worked with multiple E&P companies. All I've done is mineral-related legal work for a reasonable amount of time. This is a really interesting kind of situation for me personally. I'm a bit on this exact side. I wanted to add a little bit of clarity and color to the assertion that we don't have to work with mineral owners. The Mineral Notification Act that we're talking about, 101, is the legislative intent, and the recital effectively amounts to the state's intent was to recognize the difference between mineral surface, reduce conflict, encourage negotiation, and then also provide a baseline remedy for accommodating mineral owners. And that baseline remedy is a reservation of certain lands in each quarter section for mineral operations. That has not been done on the current plan, and I'm certain that it's not being accounted for in the development. So I think the assertion might be hasty that there isn't a requirement to negotiate with mineral interest owners, because I do believe there is. To the point about this hearing, I agree. I don't know that necessarily it's a prerequisite to your decision or recommendation you're going to make today. I do think part of the reason, the second piece, that statute was enacted was to provide liability protection for municipalities for approvals that can open ULA to takings claims. And I think mindful development obviously is your priority. And I think state was recognizing that this is a very terse area of conflict in Colorado with the development and split of states. And I do think it should be navigated with care. I think the statement that the parties have been properly negotiated with, from what I've seen, I was only retained a couple weeks ago. I know Bridwell Oil Company, who I'm here on behalf of, received their accommodation agreement, which is not complete because it is lacking the accommodation proposed map 2 business days ago. So to make an informed decision, I wouldn't really consider that good faith negotiation. And I will say, as an attorney, I would not recommend my client signing that agreement. I think there's some serious negotiating left to be done. I do recognize the service owner as mineral interest as well. I think the parties that I've spoken to would all be willing to negotiate probably waivers over accommodation agreements, but that conversation has not been initiated. So I would say that from what I said, I do believe that recommending approval today may be hasty. I agree with the fact that minimal accommodation may not be required. I think there's definitely reasons to foster that conversation more so than we have done to date. And I would say at a minimum, because you can make a conditional approval here today, I think acknowledgement of the mineral estate and making approval conditional upon resolution with mineral interest owners would be beneficial to all parties. So if nobody has any questions for me, that's my 2 cents. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, just to be clear, I understand that there's certainly a state law that requires working with the mineral owners, but your county code requirements do not require there to be that agreement in place in order for you to issue a recommendation of approval of this project. And my clients have otherwise complied with every single set of requirements that the county has.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I'll just add on as well. And I think Mr. Henderson's online. And I appreciate Mr. Henderson from the last hearing as well. I think one of the things kind of to make the point about the fact of we sent out the opportunity. So you have to also keep in mind that, like I mentioned during the presentation, we're working on a title with the Redwall Company. I think there's kind of a discrepancy on some of the recorded names. We were under the impression that each of these parties was 1%, 0.5%. I know Mr. Henderson is online as well and is mentioning that it's 8% total and it's all underneath the same chain. So within that part, that process working title, that doesn't take overnight. We figured out this last month at the hearing here, and I appreciate the governor. We would probably never know that those were together because I think Mr. Henderson mentioned they haven't been reported since 1969, so it's very tough to depict it all. And so that's why we sent out our office this past week, because it took us 2 weeks to figure out exactly what is what according to the mineral tracts. And maybe we can talk offline, but I'm not really sure exactly how it's totally incomplete. But if you guys want to come back with a red line, it's also we're very happy to be in the middle of the comedy. But I missed it, but I'm not seeing a red line like you hearing those.
No, so under color of state. Sorry. So the agreement that I received, and I think using the term offer might be generous because I wasn't aware that there was an actual offer. It's an accommodation agreement that includes assumption of liability by the mineral owner or truly a burden shifting that is a problem and egregious. And there was no compensation offer that I'm aware of. I think you don't. Oh, okay. I'll double check and confirm with my client on that. And so under the current statute, physically, the mineral estate is dominant, and that's limited by reasonable accommodation. And that means basically the mineral owner can only use as much of the surface as is reasonable, but the surface owner has to allow the mineral owner opportunity to be able to develop the resource. And under the current statute, if you cannot come to an agreement, you reserve a 660-foot radius around the center of every quarter section, plus ingress and egress. That I do not believe is in any map estimate, and the exhibit to the accommodation doctrine or the accommodation agreement that they sent was not provided. I mean, we were told that it has not been finished. So we can't confirm with any certainty what the mapping of that accommodation plan really is.
True.
And so that was what I meant by incomplete. And to be clear again, I think the preference for sure of my client would not be to have an accommodation agreement, but instead come to an agreement where we can actually waive those mineral rights. But again, that's a conversation that we haven't been approached at all. And just to clarify as well, I totally agree with you that most likely under the rules, all of your obligations have been met. There have been recent cases out of Boulder where moratoriums or prevention of leasing of mineral rights has been found taking, and the state acknowledged in the Mineral Owner Notification Act that the purpose isn't necessarily to intervene with county planning autonomy, but instead help protect from liability for takings in the mineral estate. And so when you strictly comply with that statute, it does benefit the municipality and insulate you from legal claims arising from the mineral owner. So while you absolutely do not have to require them to meet certain benchmarks prior to approval, I would be of the mindset that it might be pretty good. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the last thing I'll add to, I appreciate all the back and forth as well, that I think one thing to also make certain of, and I know Jordy's online as well, and give more context, but from my understanding, I'm obviously a developer, so I think everything we're going to solve it. From my understanding, the statute in Colorado also does not require us to have a monetary accommodation agreement, meaning, which that is also obviously our goal is to help in that aspect, if that's what the owner would like. But we also have the optionality to provide, like they actually want to actually go drill their minerals as long as they can come in horizontally and drill and have that land available, which they do. That is also a means of accommodation as well.
There's a statutory calculus on the land that needs to be reserved, and they're not even enough. I can send you the site.
Okay, well, I'm referencing the mineral tracks. Chuck, we have access to that as well. Maybe we can see the different maps, but that was my understanding of the statute. But I think the bigger picture here is, while we can have all these conversations offline, at the end of the day, we're here for approval of our solar project to get continued to move forward. And it has nothing to do with normalizing at the end of the day, although we want to be a great partner and, you know, negotiate with these people in the background and make everybody happy. The point of this meeting is to get approval for our special use permit to get fully completed and follow-up on here.
Mr. Peterson?
I got someone online too.
Okay, turn that.
Well, I just checked my email. Last thing I received from Zach was, and I just want to read this real quickly so you understand that we're at. I wrote greetings, some time has passed. Haven't heard anything additional information regarding the compensation discussion we had via Zoom. First steps for the email where I provided my suggestion. You know, if you're going to push the conversation higher up in your organization, is anything come of that discussion? That's 28 meeting later that day. I really hope all is well. Stay very pleasant to you. I had sent this up the chain internally. We're strategizing on the best way to come to an agreement, more to come in their future on this, but it has not been a good problem. This is not the environment for us to spend your valuable time talking about contract negotiations. However, I do want to point out that they did send a communication log, I think, trying to evidence that they were having discussions or working on combinations with the mineral holders. So they sent a copy, and I'd asked for any additional information from Mr. the Server office and provided that. Their communication log ends sometime in December. Okay, so here we are, May 1st. I don't know what other information might have been planted in that communication log that related to what we're trying to do here as far as discussions. It's recently come to my attention that a surface owner may very well have violated some of my economic rights on that property if they are going to have a non-disturbance agreement on this property without my portion of it, because then we've got another court issue, so to speak. So if I wish to do something on there, whether there's an assignment or an accommodation agreement or not, I still, as the mineral right owner in this situation, have the right to go and produce my minerals. The agreements they've asked me to sign do have compensation associated. I find it unacceptable. I find the fact that if they do cover this land with 1,400 some odd acres worth of panels, that the marketability of my property basically goes to zero. They might argue that they've offered to have one of their engineering mineral specialists tell me whether or not there's any minerals on the ground. It's sort of like having your used car salesman, this used car salesman here, apologies, tell you when you ask them, did I pay the right amount for this car? Yes, you did. You know, and so there's a lot of questions here about what that accommodation here means. I have to agree with the woman attorney came up and spoke about waivers, et cetera. We're pretty open to a lot of things, but I've been sending them negotiation points and they've accommodated some of them, some of the larger ones they have not. So it's not that I've just thrown my hands up and said, I'm working with you all. He's trying to get to the point that it makes sense that minerals, and I've taken some 170 some odd parcels in this county for years, my father and I, just in this corporation, and to have somebody come in and basically destroy the potential value of some of them. It doesn't really set well with these property owners, whether that were surface rights or mineral rights, either way you want to look at it. So I'm still going to ask the same thing. I still think there needs to be some sort of delay here. Does the issue come up with what your liability is? If they do something that liability to the surface and the mineral right, the states, that's probably coming back their way as well. So I just think you ought to concern yourself with having this done correctly right up front. The old saying, good fences make good neighbors, really applies here. So there's a fence at the ground level, on down, and up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for
I'd like to respond on behalf of the applicant, if I may, Zach, if that's okay.
Sure, I think you need to swear yourself in.
Do you solemnly affirm under the penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And can you please say your name?
Yes, Jordan Bunch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am also an attorney with Holland and Hart representing the applicant, and I just want to respond and elaborate on a couple of things that have been said already. And the first is that I think the point, and I apologize, it's a little bit hard to hear via Zoom, so I apologize if I have maybe missed something that's been said, but I agree with one of the things that the gentleman who just spoke said, which is that it's not the purview of this board to be involved in the contract negotiations between private parties. That's not what's appropriate here, or to be in the details of who said what when or what emails was sent. That's getting, you know, we're far beyond what this board should be concerned with. What we heard the last hearing is that what the board wanted to know is that is the applicant making concerted efforts to contact these mineral owners, to work with these mineral owners? And I think what you've heard today is ample evidence of that. Certainly not that agreements have necessarily been reached. There are still outstanding issues. But what we really heard at the last meeting is the board wanted to be sure that these were not being ignored. And what you've heard from the testimony, both from the applicant and the mineral owners themselves today, is that they are working together. They are making strides. Are we there yet? No, but that is being worked on. And the second thing that I wanted to bring up that I think is really important that may have been suggested by a couple people who spoke is that the board should not make having signed either accommodation or waiver agreements a condition of approval. That essentially delegates the obligations of the board to private entities and gives mineral owners effectively a veto right over this project, because all a mineral owner would have to say is, no, I'm not agreeing to anything ever, and then the project's dead. That's an inappropriate delegation of responsibility. What the board has asked is that we show that we are reaching out to these mineral owners. That's been established. And obviously, as has been stated by everyone, we know there is a reasonable accommodation requirement under Colorado law, and then that must be complied with. That's really the requirement, not that it be now written into the code ex parte, that there be signed accommodation or waiver agreements as a condition of approval. That's not in the code, and that would be a delegation of responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ruthie Carlson, hopefully for the last time. Apologies. I wanted to clarify my ask or recommendation for a condition of approval. I'm not actually saying it should be conditional approval only with agreement of the parties. I absolutely agree that it is not the purview of the board to be meddling with any contractor in the middle of any kind of fall. Under Colorado Statute 2465.5103.5, there are requirements to reserve oil and gas operations areas in default agreement. So it would be my recommendation, even if it's something simple as the parties agree that they will either come to agreement or accommodate for oil and gas operations areas as required by Colorado Statute. So
I don't know. Thank you. Good afternoon, sir. Anybody else? Is there anyone else who have comments?
Come from the penalty of perjury. Testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Please state your name.
Robert and Sarah.
Thank you.
Just for the record, for this hearing, it was advertised, published on April 14th in the local paper, and then the certified letters did go out at the end for this hearing. I have receipts for those. The only comment that I have concerning this is the decision you made. The project you said will last about 4 years, roughly. My concern is, on the bonding end of it, it depends what you choose to do. A bond is set to cover the commission reclamation costs. And I think you need to take a look at that bond be updated in 3 to 5 years and not the length of the, that's something to keep in mind and choose to do. Good point.
Other comments, questions? Please state your name, sir.
Question. Come to my mind since being here. You said you had a mineral expert geologist look at the minerals and determine if there was nothing there.
I determined there was nothing there, but I considered the study, and so I wasn't on board probably at the time. But
yes, please send me the study. Do you have any details on what they did for the study?
No, I mean, I'm just a developer, but we can go with our consultants and we don't have to send that stuff.
Okay. And more than the well, as far as I'm aware, there's no wells drilled really there, so I don't know what kind of study would have been done.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not sure. But we could do that. It's good.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Commissioner, if you'd like to, we can go into an executive session for legal counsel.
Yes, I would like to at this time call for an executive session for about 10 minutes with our legal counsel. We will adjourn for that.
And we just have to put on record that it is 24-6-4-0-2-4-B. Conferences with attorney proceeding for the purpose of proceeding in the line.
That's recorded.
That's sufficient.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All in favor of executive session, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We will adjourn for a 10-minute executive session.
So I'm guessing we all need it. Okay.
We have a motion to come out of the executive session and also a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We are now back out of executive session. At this time, we are recommending agency primarily. There's several things we could do. We could recommend who, we could recommend denial, or we could recommend to the county commissioners approval with various conditions. Do we have a motion to that effect by any of the members of the Planning Commission?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to recommend approval on the condition that the applicant is in compliance with all Colorado law and updates the bond in required years.
Okay, it's been moved. Do we have a second?
I'll make a second.
Moved and seconded. we approve this with the conditions that bond is updated every 5 years and that the applicant complies with, as the state of Colorado laws and apply to them. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. It will go on to the county commissioners with our recommendation. Thank you, everyone, for your input and time. So we have.
Jennifer, you still have the 20th and 13th model?
I think that's what we scheduled earlier.
June 20th will be the hearing before the county commissioners for everyone who is present. So that will be the big hearing. Thank you for your time. We have one more item of business. We have an amendment to the Los Angeles County Land Use Regulations 7.14, decommissioning reclamation plan requirements. Mr. Lucero?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, I know I'm not in the rest. I looked at the plan.
We have that in here.
Left. Mr. Zero, would I need to read this?
No.
Or you? Okay.
Did you notice that there's one in the public hearing or just did you, right?
Yeah.
I answered you in the end. On the affirmative, on the attributes, and when you ask, it will be the truth of the that I tell the truth.
Yes.
Good evening.
Robert, sir. Thank you. What you guys have before you is an amendment to the land use guidebook. It's 7.14.04, project reclamation. A number of the items that were in there are still in the copy that I just gave you. I took out a couple items in there, but it was going to be easier just to take out all of them. I think there's six items, 1 through 6. Take that out and replace it with this. This goes into a little more detail as far as decommissioning reclamation plan requirements. It just goes into a little bit more detail. A number of these, I did some research on several counties, not only in Colorado, some out of state. So a lot of this is most counties, the regulations are pretty much the same. I did add a few things in here, which does include the decommissioning and review of bond every 5 years. But it does go into a little bit more detail instead of just a reclamation plan. I think at this point, it sounds like we'll be dealing with a few of these. So I'd rather be a little bit more specific in there and the plans.
From what plans that I have looked at, just to be sure, this seems to be very complete. And I feel that it covers virtually everything that we need to in protecting the county as well as the applicants, landowners, and everyone involved in the future. And with the recommendation of the updating of that
bond every 5 years, I think it's very prudent that we do that. Any questions from the audience? Comments?
Hey,
I'll second.
Have a motion to recommend approval of the decommission reclamation plan requirements to the county commissioners. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Ms. Conservative, or does any member have any other business that may come before the planning commission at this time? Audience, thank you all for being in attendance. I'll declare the meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been moved, seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your attendance.
Go down, boy.
Nice to meet you, though.
We'll be working together.